Brother Gabe is in Madisonville, Kentucky this morning. Let's remember him. And as announced, Lord willing, I'll be preaching in Dingus, West Virginia next Sunday. The bulletin, if you noticed it, the title is taken from verse 7. Well, I didn't get that far. So, the title, actual title and subject we're dealing with is the subtle serpent, the subtlety of Satan. And I thought about this. We're in no hurry. We've been through Genesis before together and looked at chapter 3 many times over the years. And I don't want to rush through this. We'll miss some of the subtlety of Satan, which he would have us do, wouldn't it? And every time we study these things, we learn more. We need to be as wise as serpents. Our Lord said that. Be as wise as serpents, harmless as doves, though, but wise as serpents, lest Satan in his subtlety deceive us. That's what Paul was concerned about for the church, wasn't it, Corinthians? This is God's Word and the truth of God. And it began in the very beginning. Genesis is where the truth foundation is laid. And to understand the truth of who God is and what man is and what salvation is, you have to understand what happened in the beginning. As Brother Spurgeon once said, if you're wrong on the fall, you'll be wrong on it all. And the three questions that sum up the truth. What happened in the garden? What happened in the garden? Number two, what happened at Calvary's cross? What happened there? And number three, what happens in the heart of a person when the Lord regenerates them, deals with them? So we're going to look at this in depth. Look at chapter 3, verse 1 begins. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. The serpent, he's called. And that the word is snake. Although we're not sure if he actually had the form of a reptile, a snake. But the word is taken from, a snake in the way it sounds and the way it acts, its characteristics. I believe that's why it's called a serpent. A snake is so very subtle and hidden and crafty, and you're unaware of it, and it sneaks up on you. And the hiss of it, I looked it up, the hiss of a snake is like a whisper. And I think this is the way Satan interjected his poison, is just a whisper. In Revelation 12, verse 9, it reads this way. The great dragon was cast out, that is, of heaven. Most of you know that story where Lucifer in Isaiah 14, I believe it is, where he said, I will exalt myself. I'll be God. I will. Free will. Satan said, I will. God, the Lord said, no, you won't. I will. And so he cast him out. And I read on in Revelation 12, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. That's what our Lord said. He was cast out into the earth. And the Revelation speaks a great deal of it. And he deceiveth the whole earth. He's a deceiver. His form is not important. It's not important to know exactly what he looked like. He sure didn't have a pitchfork and a tail, did he? It'd be easy to spot that way. He was very appealing alluring even to Eve, or else she would have been repulsed by him. His voice must have been very appealing. Smooth words and fair speeches deceive the simple. Well, look at verse 1. It says, he was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Satan is a creature. Satan is a creature. There's only one being in existence who had no beginning of days, nor end of day. That's God, the Lord God, Son of God, Spirit of God. God is eternal. I am. Satan had a beginning. God made him. He's a created angel. That's important to know that for our comfort. He is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. Oh, no. In fact, I believe we give him more credit than we ought to. He doesn't know everything. He cannot be everywhere at the same time. He's not omnipresent. Only God is. He is not omnipotent. He's not all-powerful. His power is limited. He can only do what God allows him to do. You know the book of Job, first chapter of Job. The Lord was mocking Satan, wasn't he? Where have you been? He said, I've been running around like a chicken with my head cut off, as we would say. And he wanted to get at Job. He couldn't. He couldn't touch Job. He can't do anything unless God allows him to do it according to his will and purpose. Now, that's our comfort, isn't it? It's our comfort. God is God. Satan is not. Most religion today gives more power to Satan than they do God. Don't they? All power is from the Lord. He was made by God for a purpose. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Subtle means crafty, wily, deceitful, tricky. Subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, knowing he, I said he's not all knowing, he's not omniscient, but he is intelligent being. He spoke to the woman, knowing she's the weaker vessel. He knew that. He knew that much. Knowing she was the weaker vessel, knowing that she perhaps would go to her husband who would, in love to him or whatever, listen to her. Whereas Adam, and our Lord said this, Adam was not deceived in the transgression, didn't he? Adam was not deceived. Satan did not go to him. But he went to her, knowing this about her, and perhaps she would, that Adam in his love to her and would join her in the transgression. Well, the woman, he said this to the woman, and obviously she was alone, wasn't she? She was alone. Now, our Lord said, it's not good for man to be alone. Then it's not good for a man to be alone. Well, it certainly wasn't good for this woman. She was created to be the helpmate of man. It was even worse for her, being the weaker vessel. She needed her husband, and vice versa. Vice versa, a help. She needed her husband. It's not good for her to be alone. She was alone. She's more susceptible to this dangerous temptation than she would have been with her husband. And someone said, had she kept close to the side out of which she was lately taken, she would not have been so dangerously exposed. She should have kept close to the one from whom she came. And what a lesson that is for us. We are no match for the temptations of Satan, the god of this world. So we need to keep close to the side of the one from whom we came. And Matthew Henry said this, Communion with our Lord and His saints contributes to our strength and our safety. Communion with the saints. Alone. Is it not when you're alone that you're most tempted and most easily swayed and fall to those alone? So it's not good to be alone. And evidently, she was near this tree. I believe Satan perhaps pointed at it. She's near this tree. Maybe she's looking at it. There's no sin in that. There's no sin in it, looking at it. But again, Matthew Henry said this. He said, if you don't want to eat the forbidden fruit, don't go near it. Don't go near it. What good advice that is. Good counsel. If something could be a potential problem, stay away from it. Right? Scripture says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The flesh is so weak and it's so susceptible to temptation without us going near the temptation. He says, pray this every day when you pray, lead us not into temptation. Lord, don't let me get near it. That I can't handle it. We cannot resist one temptation. Eve was smarter than anybody in here. She couldn't resist one temptation. Not one. Without the Lord. And how much less can we? That's good advice, isn't it? Wise counsel. Listen to Proverbs 4. And this is what our Lord says to His sons. Not just young people, but His little children, such as we are, so weak, so ignorant. He says this, listen to this. Proverbs 4:15. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Young people, really listen to this, please. Young and old, don't go in the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. Go the other direction. Go the other direction. So, she was alone and she was perhaps near this tree and looking at it. There's no, for our comfort, there's no sin in being tempted. We're all tempted. There's no sin in being tempted. We're all tempted. There's no temptation taken to us but such as common to God's people. We're all tempted by the devil. There's no sin in that. The sin is in succumbing to it. The sin is falling to it. It is in taking the bait. Now, I want you to notice with me how sin came into this world. It came in a subtle way. It came in a seemingly small way by the power of suggestion. By a little innuendo. Now look at it. Verse 1. He said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And this is why the Lord preaching is better to hear the word. So you can hear the way in which it's spoken, perhaps. Can you hear Him saying this? Have you heard people put a question mark on truth and what we believe and stuff? I hear that it's written that somebody told me that it says you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Did God really say that? He didn't say that. Did He really say that? Well, just a little, you know, innuendo here. A little subtle suggestion. Satan is more subtle than any. He's like a snake. Quiet, stealthy, undetected. Before you know it, you're bitten. Anybody ever been bitten by a snake? They tell me. I haven't. I've been bitten by the serpent. But they tell me that you're bitten before you know it. and you don't feel the effects of it. And then make people look down, and then before you know it, you're swooning. And it's so quick, so subtle. This poison is injected. Luther wrote this. Luther, brilliant man. He said, "His craft and power are great. He's armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal." And he goes on to say, "Did we in our own strength confide or try to be a match for him, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side." I always have to quote the rest of it. "The man of God's own choosing." Do you ask who that may be? Why, the Lord Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabbath is His name. Age to age the same. He must win the battle. Oh my. His craft and His power, as Luther spoke of, are not out-and-out bald-faced lies. We talk about bald-faced lies. A man look right in your face and just tell you an out-and-out lie. No, there are subtle suggestions, little innuendos or questions that raise doubt in the mind about God and about His Word. That's how He does it. If He'd have told an out-and-out lie, Eve wouldn't have fallen for it. Same to that. Well, no, it's worse today because men love lies. They'd rather believe a lie. But not Eve. Now, she's a righteous woman, and yet how's he going to get her to believe his lies? It's got to be pretty subtle, doesn't it? It's got to be mixed with God's Word. Got just to be a little doubt cast on God's Word. Somehow he's got to sneak in his lie. That's his power. Raise a little doubt in us about God and about His Word. God is truth. God is truth. Christ is, He said, "I am the truth." The truth. The whole truth. Nothing but the truth. Scripture says God cannot lie. He cannot lie. Who are you going to trust? God cannot lie. God is good. There's none good but God. God is good. Goodness personified. Everything He says is only good. He cannot say anything that's not good. Who are you going to trust? Who are you going to believe? And He says of the world and everybody in it and everything in it, there's none good. No, not one. They're all out for themselves. And this is their Father. He's in it for Himself. He's in it for Himself. And the only people you can really trust in this world are those who have Christ in them. They're not in it for themselves. They're like their Lord. They really do seek your good. God is good. Satan is the opposite of God. He's a liar. He's a murderer, our Lord said, from the beginning. He's up to no good. He means us nothing but no good. He's out for himself. And his workers, his ministers, are just like him. They look good. They sound good. They're smooth. You think they're good, but they're up to no good. No good. Satan is subtle, and his greatest subtlety is how he cloaks a lie in the truth. How he covers a lie with the Word of God. How he uses the Word of God. Old Brother Scott Richardson. The more I listen to him. If you want a blessing, you go sermon audio and you just start pulling up some of Brother Scott's old messages. I have been listening to him, and I'm just so blessed and amazed at the wisdom that the Lord gave that coal miner from West Virginia. It's obvious it's of the Lord, this earthen vessel. Excellence in the power of his mind was of God, not of men. And he said this one time. He said 99% of rat poisoning is good food. Rats wouldn't eat it if it wasn't. If it wasn't good food, if it didn't taste good, if it didn't smell good, they wouldn't eat it. It's just that 1% that'll kill them. And so it is with Satan's lie. A little doubt here, a little suggestion there, a little innuendo there. I've heard that God said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Is that true? Did God say that? Three ways that Satan deceived Eve, and he deceives men and women today. Three ways. Number one, put a question on God's Word. Is that really true? Did he really say that? Is it really a sin? Is this really God's Word? Is this book really God's Word? Do you know how few people really believe this is God's Word? Huh? I read you that survey of so-called clergymen one time, didn't I? I don't know what I did with it somewhere. Anyway, the vast majority of so-called preachers don't really believe this is the Word of God. They really don't. Who started that? Right here. Satan. Number two, or number one, he questions God's Word. Is that really true? Did he say that? Did God say that? Is this God's Word? And if he did, is it really a sin? Is it that bad? Number two, he flatly denies. After he raises the question, he flatly denies the consequences of it. Look at verse 4. Serpent said unto the woman, "You shall not surely die." First he raises a question, then he says, "That's not true. It's not true. You won't die." He flatly denies the consequences of sin, the great danger of sin, death. He denies death. You're not dead. You're not dead. Man's not dead. Well, he didn't die in the garden. That's what he says. And number three, he even suggests, he goes even further than that. He suggests that not only will it not kill you, but some good will come of it. He calls good evil, and evil good, and bitter sweet, and sweet bitter. Woe is unto him that does that, who calls good evil, and evil good, and sweet bitter, and bitter sweet. And woe is unto them that fall for it. And that's what he's doing, isn't it? He hasn't changed. He has not changed. Here's the thing. Now, he said, did God really say that? You don't think so, do you? If he did, he didn't mean it. Here's what he really meant to say. I've heard preachers say that. I heard a well-known preacher on the radio say that very thing. He says, it's not so much what God said, it's what did he mean by that. I heard him say that. Barnard used to say, you remember what Barnard used to say, Dad? He said, Scripture doesn't say what it means, it says what it says. Not up to you to decide what God says. We're not interpreting God's Word, we're declaring it. The Holy Spirit's His interpreter. The Holy Spirit's the one that'll explain, if you will, His Word. First thing is, you believe it. Why? Because God said it. I don't understand it. I believe it anyway. Here's faith that overcometh the world. Faith that overcometh the God of this world believes God implicitly, completely, and really won't believe anybody else. Doesn't he say that? Let God be true and every man a liar. That's faith. Because why? Because we know God's good, God's holy, God's just, God's true. Man's not. I love the way Luke began the gospel by saying, I'm writing to you to declare unto you things most surely believed among us. I love what Paul said over in Acts chapter 24 when he said, the way they call heresy, so worship I God my Father, believing all things that are written in the law and the prophets. I believe it all. Surely not. Yes, I do. Well, nobody else does. Doesn't matter. Let God be true. Every man a liar. This is the faith that overcometh the God of this world. Listen to no one but God. Here's my counsel from God's Word. Don't listen to anybody but God and those who just repeat Him. that good counsel? Not that we're afraid of questions. It's not that we're afraid of questions. It's not that God's truth can't stand up to any scrutiny or any kind of question that man hurls at it. That is not true. They said, Stephen, they couldn't resist the wisdom, the Spirit by which he spoke. Our Lord came, who is the Word. He is the Word. Our Lord came down here, and they asked him every question you could think of. They posed every problem. They thought it was a problem. They asked him every question they could think of. Every hypothetical question they could think of. This and that. Let's come up with something. We'll trip him up. And they tried everything they could. And when he answered them, they were all dumbfounded. And finally, he asked them one question. And, blah, 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 blah. And they were, blah, blah, blah. We don't know. And it says nobody asked him any more questions. The true wisdom cometh from above. Man has any sense at all, he got it from God. I love, the Scripture says, hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Huh? Those who know the truth see all this stuff that men are saying today for what it is. Absolute, utter nonsense. People of a reprobate mind, it means don't have good sense. Don't have, we'd say, a lick of sense. Why? God hides it from them. Professing themselves to be wise, He shows them to be fools, doesn't He? And then He takes a babe and reveals the truth to them. Hides it from the wise and prudent. Seminary professors don't know what our children know. The only times our Lord says He rejoiced in spirit, I believe He laughed out loud, was when He said that. The Pharisees couldn't understand His simple parable. But He revealed them to His disciples, and He said, I thank You, Father, You've hid these things from the wise men and revealed them unto me. Even so, Father, it seemed good in Thy sight. Why? No flesh is going to glory in His presence. Boast not in your wisdom, not in your strength, not in your beauty. By the grace of God, Paul said, we don't know anything of ourselves. We have to have it taught to us, revealed to us. So, no, we're not afraid of questions. God's, man's supposed wisdom. But I tell you what, though, I'll tell you this much, though. If we were more knowledgeable of the Scriptures, we can answer about any question anybody would hurl at us from God's Word. It can answer anything, but we're not. So here's the danger in trying to debate with people if we don't know the Word of God as well as we should. So don't argue anyway. Just don't do it. Romans 9 doesn't argue, does it? Romans 9, verse 20, Paul's talking about God's will, it's not of him that willeth or him that runneth, or God that showeth mercy. Huh? Whom he will, he hardens. And this is what people argue. Now, well, who can resist his will? And all Paul says is, who are you to fly against God? Well, and here's what I don't listen to modern preachers anymore. I don't read books by false prophets. I don't read the philosophies and philosophers of the day. I don't do it anymore. I just don't. It's just a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Please don't hand me an article, heretical article that somebody, don't do it anymore. I don't want to read it. Not that I'm afraid of it. I just don't have time. I've heard it all anyway. I've heard every argument they have. Haven't you? Heard it all. There's nothing to it. Been arguing Satan started. I made the mistake the other day of reading some comments down on that sermon audio of something that somebody... And it made me so mad. And I wanted to write back. And I thought, oh, get involved in the... Let the potsherds, here's what our Lord said in Isaiah 45. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Broken, fragmented vessel. Let them argue all they will. He that sits in the heavens laughs. No argument. The woman said to the serpent, verse 2. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, Hold on right there. She shouldn't have been talking to him. She shouldn't have been alone. She shouldn't have spoken to him. She should have ran. She should have said, if she said anything, the Lord rebuked thee, Satan. She should have said, get thee behind me, Satan. She should have said, talk to my husband. Shouldn't she? How about us? We're the weaker vessel, aren't we? No match. And what she did instead was she ends up misquoting God's word and falling for his wife. Falling. Don't do it. Don't debate. Don't argue. Verse 3. She said, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Did God say that? No, he didn't. She misquoted it. She's interpreting what God said. Didn't she? Look over at verse 17, right on the same page of chapter 2, verse 17. This is what God actually said. Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's pretty plain, isn't it? She added to it, said, don't touch it. And she lessened the severity of it, lest you die. God said, you will die. How important is every word of God, the way God said it? How important is it? Is it important? I'll tell you how important it is. This, you can change the whole meaning of a passage by one little word removed or one little word changed or one phrase. Put a comma in a different place. Catch it. Change the whole meaning of it. I had several examples, but we're out of time. And you know, the severity of what God said, the plainness of it, lest you die, you shall surely die, God said. Well, she lessened the severity of it. And the serpent, finally, verse 4, he said, you shall not die. And that's his lie today. You shall not die. And here's what God really meant, he said, verse 5. God knows you have free will. God knows in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened. You'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. You want that, don't you? And so here we have the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The woman saw the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and desired to make one wise. It made her a fool is what it did. She took the fruit, ate it, gave also to her husband with her. He did eat. And plunged this world into darkness and death. Subtle. The half wasn't told. The half of his tricks and wiles. But he hasn't changed. He's still operating the same way today. Read for your own good 2 Corinthians 11. Go over there and Paul says, I fear by the that Satan, like, as he deceived Eve, will, that your mind should be deceived by his subtlety. From the simplicity of his crying. He goes on to talk about Satan's ministers transformed themselves. The ministers, angels of light, ministers of righteousness. All right. Okay.